Well, I've been talking a lot about a lot of different things, but that the, you know, our foundation for all that we have is the Word of God. Amen. What God has said, what He said to us through His Word and through our own personal times with Him, and those things that He speaks to us through His Word, through His communication with us in our times of prayer and seeking Him. And one of the things that had come forth recently, toward the first of this year, at the end of last year, was that this would be the year that we're going to sell out to Him. And it said what it says. This is what I heard this afternoon in prayer. This year coming up is the year where we sell out to Him. There's going to be a great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center, with good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. It's the year of selling out to Him, whatever His will is. I don't live unto myself anymore. And the other one that I've been meditating on too is January 5 of this year. It said, my plans have not and will not change regarding the mission of the Family Prayer Center. No matter who stays or goes, no matter what you think is right or wrong here, it does not change my plan for you or the body of the Family Prayer Center. Obedience is all I need. We will have our revival. Every day we are closer than before. So in other words, it's not our will, but His will that He wants to bring to pass. Amen. Tonight, I was just going to share a little bit more and take another step in our walk of selling out to Him. I don't think I touched on this chapter a little bit this morning, but we'll take it a little bit further. Luke chapter 14, then I'm going to turn back. I think we'll get to some other scriptures. So, Luke 14, we'll start with verse 26. And I mentioned this morning, but if any man come to me, and if we back up one verse, verse 25 says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. So there's a great multitude following Jesus. That means a lot of people are following him. He's not just walking on his own. And so then he turns to them. It's like if there's a bunch of people around you, and you turn and say, well, if you'll come to me, it looks like they've already come to him, doesn't it? So what's he talking about? Well, I believe what he's saying here is he says, if any man come to me, he's talking about the born-again experience. When you come to me, remember these things. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And he says, what king goes to war? He's going to make war against another king. Doesn't sit down first and consult whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassage or an ambassador to make conditions that he desires conditions of peace. In other words, they're trying to talk it out, trying to make peace. If he doesn't think he can win, then he wants to try to make peace, right? So he doesn't get blown away. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. And I mentioned the word forsaketh not all. In other words, it talks about that word is just like setting in proper priority. He's saying here, if we don't set our priority to where Jesus is first place in our life, we're not going to be sold out to him, are we? But when he takes precedent over anyone else in our life, whether it be our husband or wife, our children, whatever it is, we listen to him. But what we have to understand also, if we're listening to him, he's going to make you a better husband, a better father. He's going to allow those things to be even greater and better. But in comparison to our love for him, it's to be as though, it says here, if he hate not. In other words, in comparison to how much we love the Father, it seems like that's hate. Because our love for God is number one. Our love for God is first place. Doesn't mean we ignore our family. Doesn't mean that we're ignoring them, but we're not allowing that to rule our life. If we let any person rule our life, then is Jesus ruling our life? You see, in other words, what he says is more important than what anyone else in our life has to say. Even though we care about them, we love them, and cherish, and you know, we cherish them, they're very important to us. But if Jesus says, this is the way I'm walking, I'm going with him. He is my master. He is the king. Okay, Jesus has to be number one if we're going to walk after him. We're going to walk with him. And that's the desire of my heart, to walk with him. Amen. Let's look at Deuteronomy real quick, 13. And Jesus is kind of referencing that here. Deuteronomy 13. And verse 6. Deuteronomy 13, 6. Okay. Deuteronomy 13, 6 says, if your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend, which is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou or thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto you, or far off from you, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. You shall not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall your eye pity him, neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him. But you shall surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with the stones, that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So this is, I believe this is the passage that Jesus is referring to here, where in the Old Testament, it was very serious. He said, because if they didn't keep this law, if they're trying to entice you, if they're trying to take you away, he's saying, cut them off. You know, in their case, they're stoning them. We're not going to stone our family, but we need to leave that behind us and move forward with him. We're not to allow any person to take us away from that first place that Jesus holds in our life. And let's go to Luke 6:46. And we want to remember that we're building our life on Christ's sayings, not our own sayings, or not on a man's sayings, but on his. Okay, verse 46. Let's just start there. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth or upon the sand, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he's saying here that really what's going to cause us to stand is the Word of God, the truth, the revelation, the Word that God has already given us. The eternal Word of God. It's settled forever in heaven. He's saying here, whoever comes to me, you're going to hear it and become a doer of what Jesus said. When we become doers of the Word of God, then we get Bible results. Amen? When we do what God said. When we hear what's been being brought forth at the prayer center, meditate the Word of God, right? He said, if we'll meditate day and night, we're going to prosper in what we do. When we take His Word and allow it to become a foundation in our life, above what I think I should do, above what somebody else might be trying to tell me to do, I take His Word as the final authority in my life. So, well, I think that's, you know, not that we're going to be mad at Him. I appreciate your counsel, but thank you. I think I'm going to do what Jesus said. Amen. I'm going to take His Word. You know, when I first got filled with the Spirit, I got some counsel. I just feel, brother, that what you're getting ready to enter into there, that's just error. I said, thank you very much, and I went on my way. Because I had to walk with Him. You know, I'm not saying at that time I wasn't as solid as I am now in it, and so it did kind of try to sway me, you know, that, oh, I hope I'm not making a mistake, Lord, but I knew in my heart, I followed after what He had already said. I know what He's saying. I know where He's leading me. Because the Word of God says, when people deny the power of God, from such flee away. That's the verse that came to me. Oh, from such, okay, I'm not going to be a part, because it was the denying of the power of God, denying of the Spirit of God. And so from such, you know, I felt like I had to separate myself at that time, because God's trying to take me to a place in Him where His Word is what I'm going to do, and not what I think or what somebody else thinks is good for me. Hallelujah. What God says. And so, let's... But the Word of God, this Word, what He said, is going to cause me to stand. Whether it's this Word that He gave me here, or if He's spoken a word to you, you can take that Word. Hey, this is a promise that God gave me. Maybe you got in line and Pastor Dave gave you a Word. You can take that Word, find your scriptures for what He's saying, and stand on that Word. God said, I'm coming to that place where I'll know who I am in Christ. Everything that He said about me and in me and to me is going to come through me. Amen? Because that's what the Holy Spirit's building in each one of us. The very place that God's called us to. Hallelujah. And His Word is going to cause us to prosper. Let's look at Psalm chapter 1. I don't think we're going to be real long tonight, but you just never know. I might get excited. Amen. Hallelujah. I already am. Let me get excited with the Word of God. Glory to God. God's Word's never going to fail. There's no room for failure with His Word. His Word is going to remain forever. God's Word, when we're doing according to His Word. I'm not talking about, I know people can take the Word of God and they can make it say whatever they want. You know, some people have said, you know, Judas went and hung himself and found another verse, go thou and do likewise. Well, don't do that. You're taking that, that's just taking it out of context. That's how the enemy works. He takes a little bit of truth and then twists it, which makes it wrong. See, he doesn't come. He's afraid of the Word of God. He's afraid of you. The Bible says He knows and He trembles. He's in fear. He's in fear now because you're here. Because you're learning truth. Giving yourself over to Him. This word is not going to fail. It's settled forever. It's a sure foundation that we build our life upon. But it says we dig deep into His sayings so that we become doers of them. So that we have a foundation that's so sure no matter what the enemy throws against us, no matter what storm of life comes, we're going to stand. Our life is not going to be on sifting sand. but it's going to be solid on the rock of His revelation of what Jesus is saying, on the truth of what He already has promised me. Hallelujah. Promised all of us. Hallelujah. But there's something I want us to see here. Psalm chapter 1. I'm just going to start the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that. He's getting ready to place a little bit of conditions on our blessing. Because you've got something to do with it too. How we receive. It says, blessed is the man that, number one, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. That's good news. How many want whatever you do going to prosper? Amen. Jesus said, whatever you set your hand to will begin to prosper. Why? Because you're meditating on him, in his ways, and what he has us to do. Number one, we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And that just means a person who bases their decisions in general counsel of life, their advice and their wisdom of people, and they're taking counsel or advice or wisdom from people that are ungodly or immoral. Okay? They're morally wrong. They're unrighteous or the godless. Our counsel is to come from God. And when we listen to Him, we listen to people that know God, we can gain some godly counsel. Hallelujah. How many know Pastor Dave's a godly man? I like the counsel that I receive. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Meditate the Word of God. Worship God. Fast. Hold on to that truth of His Word until it becomes alive in you and receive your miracle. We're holding on to what God said. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa's in revival. Amen? We're going to have what God desires. We're going to take the Word that God said, endure. You know, in Timothy he said, endure hardness like a good soldier. We're not going to look at the counsel of the ungodly, but we're going to stand with Him, His counsel. Nor stand in the way of sinners means to establish a relationship with people who have a lifestyle of sin. I mean, sometimes we think of, you know, obviously, it's pretty obvious we're not going to hang out with all the people that are in the bar and are on drugs and all that. But he says, if somebody's established a lifestyle of sin, any kind of sin in their life, and you realize that, and you see that, we're not going to stand in the way of the sinner. Not going to go his way. So we see that, first of all, I notice a progression here. The third thing he says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful, means to take a habitation, to make a habitation, or to sit in session or time of abode with those who scorn, who mock, deride, scoff, or interpret something in a scornful way. And sometimes we don't think about that, but, you know, anybody ever heard anybody be a little scornful, you know? Well, I just don't believe that. You're just wasting your time over there at the prayer center praying in tongues all the time. Why are you doing that? What's the matter with you? That ain't right. You know, that could be a scornful attitude. People that take the Word of God and they're not taking it seriously. They scorn at the truth of the Word of God. We don't take our counsel there. We're not going to sit with them. We're not going to listen to that kind of counsel. So we need to think about how we hear. With a readiness of mind, talks about in Acts 17:10, that the Bereans, they had a readiness of mind to listen. And our mind, we have to let our mind be ready and think about how are we hearing the Word of God. You know, because sometimes, you know, maybe it's something that you were taught was wrong, but you found out that the Word of God says it differently. Then we have to change to what the Bible says. Now, I'm not talking about what some person said. They might have said it, but they said what the Bible said. They taught what the Bible is teaching. So now you take your Bible and you're saying, well, you know, I didn't think that was for today. I thought God healed some people, not others. But the Bible says Jesus healed them all. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he wants you well too. He's not choosing his favorites. It's not in his timing. He already paid the price. Hallelujah. So we're going to press in and receive what he already did. So we want it. We want to stay away and think about what we're listening to. But his delight, our delight is to be in the law of the Lord, or in the law of liberty, which God's given us, his word, his truth. Hallelujah. And to delight, when we talk about that word delight, it means diligent, a purposeful pursuit. We want to have a delight in what God said, a purposeful pursuit. Hallelujah. You know, when we don't feel, our flesh doesn't feel like reading the Word today or studying the Bible or meditating on it. You know, the enemy wants to drive us, but God wants to guide us. He tries to drive you to do certain things. And sometimes there's a drive. Anybody had that? You know, you just feel like, I got to do this. This is my responsibility. I've got to do it now. You know? I mean, sometimes there are things that are important and they need to be done. But most things don't have to be done right now. Especially when it's your time and you set some time to read the Word of God or pray. Say, well, I just can't seem, I just don't feel like it. Well, we have to press past our feelings and take the Word of God and say, no, God's Word said if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit's going to be edified. It's going to be built up. Jude 20, right? But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We become diligent, we become purposeful in our pursuit of God. We're not going to look at the way of the sinner. We're going to look at God. Because he's going to make our tree become a tree. He's going to cause something to happen. In that law, we meditate day and night. Our delight is to be in him. And we're guaranteed some results when we do that. Amen? We're going to be that tree that's planted by rivers of water. We're going to bring forth fruit in our season. Our leaf will not wither. Whatever we do is going to begin to prosper. That's the promise of God to us. When we look at that promise, we need to look at the promise more than the other things, because if we're pursuing him, if our delight, and we're purposely pursuing him, then we're not going to have to worry about the counsel of the ungodly. Amen? Because we're going to know. We're not going to walk with it. I just saw a progression there. You're walking with it. He said, then we're not going to sit and we're not going to stay, abide with them. You know, when people start walking in that counsel, start listening to it, pretty soon you're sitting down, you're taking that counsel, and sometimes we don't always realize that. You're standing with them, you're walking with them, you slow down, you're standing there listening, pretty soon you sit down. Now you're taking notes. Whoops. Sorry, Lord, I'm not going to get with the scornful. I'm not going to go with the way of the ungodly. But I'm going to take your word. I'm going to make it a delight to me. I'm going to meditate it day and night. I'm going to, on purpose, Father, take your word and purposely, I'm going to make a purposeful pursuit of you, that I can know you I want to meditate on you and what you said. And you're going to take me to that place where I'm that tree. I'm going to be planted by the rivers of water. That means I'm going to be well watered, Lord. I'm going to be taken care of. I want to have fresh water all the time. Because your word is like water washing my soul, washing my mind, washing my life. Hallelujah. I'm going to allow it to bring forth fruit. The fruit of who God is in me. Everything Christ is in me is going to begin to come forward. My lease, I'm not going to get weary. I'm not going to wither. I'm going to leaf out. But I'm not going to wither. When you become a tree, how many know that tree keeps going every year, doesn't it? Don't stop. Those leaves don't quit growing every year. They come back on if it's that, or if it's an evergreen, it just stays green all the time. Hallelujah. Whatever I do, I'm going to begin to prosper, not just financially, but in every area of my life, in my relationships, in my work, in my family, in every area of my life. My spiritual walk with God, I'm going to begin to prosper. Because God said, God promised. I'm not talking about Brother Doug didn't promise you. God promised you. He said, if you'll make that diligent pursuit, let's go to Luke chapter 6 again. Go back here to the New Testament. Look at something else here. We're talking about trees and becoming that tree that's bearing fruit at all times. Amen. Whatever we do, we're going to be diligent. Have that diligent, purposeful pursuit. It says, verse 43 says, for a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the good or evil treasure that we have stored up in the storehouse of our heart, if we plant that good fruit, if we allow His word, His sayings to be planted in our heart, we're going to bring forth that good fruit. But if we put evil, we're going to produce what? Evil things, right? But we're putting in God's word, His truth, for the foundation. So what? So that any storm, whatever comes against us, cannot stop us, will not be destroyed. We're not going to be stopped. We're not going to be on sinking sand. The waters are going to come. We're going to be by that river of living water. We're going to be on the rock, that revelation rock. Yeah, there's already water there, but when the flood comes, our house isn't going down. Our house is going forward. Hallelujah. Our fruit's coming forward. Our life is coming forward. The nature of Christ that's in us is what's going to be coming out of us. Because when you're in test and trial, you realize what's really in you. Hallelujah. Anybody been there? You know, when the pressure's really on, that's when we find out who we are. We find out what's in our heart. We discover, hey, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to speak God's word over this situation. Or we may cower to, you know, our own emotions sometimes. People could do that. But we choose not to because we're making a diligent pursuit of what He said. And we're holding fast to what God has already promised. The greater one lives in me. I abound to His plan, to His purposes. Hallelujah. Whatever I do is going to prosper. So if we're going to produce good fruit, we're going to have to fill our heart with the Word of God. A seed is going to produce whatever's in it. Amen? Right? If you put a seed in the ground, if I put a tomato seed, I'm not going to get corn. I'm going to get what's the image of that seed. And the image of the Word of God, when it's placed within our heart, is what's going to begin to come forth. That picture is what's going to be strong within us. You know, whether it's whatever it is that we need. But we don't want to cut down the tree before it produces, amen? We want to allow and cultivate it. And let the water of the Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word continue to allow that to go forward. We talked a little bit about the last time about the roots being rooted in Him. That tree that's planted by rivers of water is rooted not in ourselves, but in Christ, in His Word, in His truth. Because it's never going to fail. Because we are what? We're diligent to meditate there in day and night. We're going to make that diligent pursuit of Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, this Word, God's Word, is what spoke all creation into existence. Amen. Hallelujah. Realize that all creation came to existence from His Word. And it can't fail when it's placed within our heart. The good treasure that we place within our heart is the treasure that's going to come forward. That's the treasure that's going to cause us to stand on the rock. That's the treasure that's going to cause us to begin to prosper. Our leaf, we're not going to become weary because it's constantly feeding us. How many know if you got a tree and it doesn't get any water, eventually that tree's going to die. But when he puts it, when that root is so deep, it takes a long time for that tree. He can wait a little while, but when he gets that water, that leaf begins to come forth. The fruit begins to come forth. Everything that God has placed within you, within this Word, as we meditate on it day and night, as we're diligent making that pursuit of Him, it's going to come forth from within us. Amen. And we're going to succeed. He's going to give us everything that He's promised us. We're going to see revival in Tulsa. We're going to see Tulsa saved. Amen. We're going to start confessing that here again. But these are just, the truth is what God said. And so when we speak tonight, we're speaking the things that God has already given to Pastor Dave and other people, and the Word of God, that He's promised the prayer center. And these promises come forth as we allow Him to allow those words, the truth of what He said, to be seated in our spirit to such a degree that we're meditating on that. That's what becomes a part of us. That's our foundation, what God said. And whatever the enemy throws against us is not going to be able to stop us. We're going to have what God has promised. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, if you came just for the teaching tonight and you have to leave, we understand. That's fine. But we're going to start our confessions here tonight. These are confessions that were brought forth and we say every week here at the Family Prayer Center, and hopefully we were taking these and saying them at home, bringing them into a place of worship before the Father. You know, there's some of these that I am working on, you know, that are part of me, you know, and others. I mean, I want all of it, but there's certain things that really have spoken to my heart that a lot of times I'll say or we'll bring them out. Amen. And so allow that to be our forefront in our thinking. Revival is in Tulsa. We're going to see a minimum, right? 1,000 people every week from one location. A lot of people say, well, yeah, through the Family Prayer Center and all the people there I know, could be 1,000. No, we're talking about from Tulsa. From one place where God is. Because the miraculous is available. Whatever you need, you can receive. People from inside the church and outside, amen? Hallelujah, it's going to happen.